April 16th, 2024. We're continuing in Masechet Berachot. We're on Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Aleph. It's in the first of the wide lines, right in the middle of the line where it says Tanu Rabbanan. And the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan, we cite a Beraita, Hanitzrach Lenekavav. If a person needs to use the bathroom, Al Yitpalim, they should not be praying. V'im Hitpalim, what about if they went ahead and did pray? Tefilato To'eva, their prayer is considered an abomination. It's disgusting. We saw in Tosafot and Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet when the Gemara over there was talking about a person who prays in the place of something dirty. Afal Pishi Hitpalel Tfilato To'eva, similar words. Tosafot had two opinions with regards to what that means halachically speaking. Either it means Me'ovat Lo Yuchal Litkon, you have no chance of fixing it, no need, no necessity, it won't affect anything in going back and repeating the Amidah, or alternatively, it wasn't effective, go back and repeat the Amidah. We'll read the words of Harambam in a moment, but the statement over here is a person who needs to use the bathroom and prays, tefilato to'eva, for all intents and purposes, we can apply each of those approaches of Tosafot, different to interpreting this line as well. Amar Rav Zevid ve'itemar Rav Yehuda, Rav Zevid, and some say Rav Yehuda, explained, qualified this statement, lo shanu ela she'eno yachol lishhot be'atzmo. Aval im yachol lishhot be'atzmo, tefilato tefila. This is the statement of a person who prays in a state of needing to use the bathroom, that it's to'eva, that's only if you're not able lishhot. Lishahot means to hold in or to withhold. But if you're able to withhold, in other words, it's not to the extent that, so to speak, you're bursting and you're incapable of holding it in, then tefilato tefila. What does that mean, tefilato tefila? Before we define holding in and how much amount of time, does that mean that it was okay or was it unideal? In other words, when the Gemara over here says tefilato tefila, what we're asking in the halachic terminology, is this lecha tehila or is this only bidi'avad? That's the question.
It's ideal, but if you did it, you're good. You should hold it in? No.
Good. So, says the Gemara onward, we'll give it a moment. Ve'ad kama, to what extent? Amarav sheshat ad per parsa. You have up until the amount of time it takes to walk a parsa. The Chachamim say a parsa is 4 meal, and the understanding is this is a 72-minute, 18 minutes for each meal. It's 18 times 4 is 72, and as a result, that's the amount of time that a person would need to hold it in. Again,
what does that mean, amount of time?
In other words, if I can approximate, I can evaluate based on the way I need to use the bathroom, I can still withstand, I won't need to race to the room and it won't come out, 72 minutes, then tefilato tefila. If not, to'eva. Now again, I ask you the same question I asked you a moment ago. Does that mean if I, I have to go a little bit, but it's going to be 72 minutes until it's actually pressing. Can I pray lecha tehila? Rashi, on the right-hand side, ve'ad kama, maybe some 15 lines from the top. Yachol leha'amid atzmo minekavav. Again, how much are you capable of holding it in and not using the bathroom? Sheyehe, the next words of Rashi are very telling. Mutar lehatchil betefila. Rashi's words are that it's permitted to begin praying. It sounds like from the words of Rashi that we're even referring to lecha tehila. We'll return to his approach in a moment, but before that, Harambam's words in Perek Dal Tevilchot Tefila, Halacha Yod, when he's dealing with this halacha, writes Harambam, Devarim hachovzin oto kesad, matters which speed you up. In other words, matters which take your mind off the prayer because you have other charges. Shim haya sarich lenikavav. If a person needs to use the bathroom, lo yitpalel, you shouldn't pray. No, he hasn't yet defined for us. If you do need to use the bathroom imminently in that moment and you pray tefilato tefila, good. Harambam adds the words vechozeru mitpalel ahar she'aseh tzerachav. Right, that's one of the two approaches of Tosafot that we saw in Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet. Tefilato te'eva means you weren't effective this time, but it doesn't mean you've closed the gates for acceptance, continues Harambam. V'im yachol leha'amid atzmo kedei parsa, if you're able to hold it in for 72 minutes, tefilato tefila, the words of the Gemara, continues Harambam, listen carefully. li. Ve'af al pi chen lecha techila lo yitpalel ad shivtok atzmo yafe yafe v'yifkod nekavav v'yasir kochov v'ne'o v'chol davar ha'tordo v'achar kach yitpalel. Right, Rambam, but nonetheless, even though it's 72 plus minutes off, lecha techila, he writes it explicitly, a person should cleanse themselves, relieve themselves prior to prayer. It's only b'di'avad if they feel that they might need to go or do need to go, it's just not as imminent. So that's a machloka between Rashi and Harambam, among many others. We'll read the words in the continued lines of the Gemara and realize there seems to be a proof one way, which in fact Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah point out. Continues the Gemara. Ikad matnela amatnita. So these next few lines are just what we call technical. The halakha will remain the same. Just instead of this statement beginning with a beraitan, Rav Zevid or Rav Yehuda explaining what's the amount of time and what do we mean when we say you have to use it? That's when you're not able to be shohed, right? That's the way we read it. We said if a person needs to use the bathroom, tefilato tefilah. That says Rav Zevid, v'itema Rav Yehuda. But if they can hold it in, then it's not as bad, or maybe then it's lecha tehila. Those words now are just, instead of Rav Zevid and Rav Yehuda, that's the Beraita. So it's just a technical thing as to who said them. Look in the Gemara. Ikad matnela, four lines down at the end of the line, in the wide lines. Am matnita. There are some who have the continued lines, which we read earlier, on the Beraita itself. How so? The Beraita continued. The Beraita said, make certain that you don't pray when you need to go. Ba'med varim amurim, the Beraita says, when is this so? Kishen yachol amod al atzmo. Instead of lishot, the Beraita says that you can't stand on yourself, meaning you can't hold it in. Avalim yachol la'amod al atzmo tefilato tefila. Period. So that's the end of the Beraita. Now, according to this, again, technical difference, now Rav Zevid and Rav Yehuda jump in. They now qualify not the initial statement, but the initial two statements. There were two statements in the Beraita. Says the Beraita, ve'ad kama, and what is lishot or la'amod al atzmo? Amar Rav Zevid, and you see that little aleph, that's Hagahot HaBach. Hagahot HaBach adds in, and Amar Rav Zevid, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ad Parsa. Good. All right, so that's what we have in the Gemara. We see the halakha. We mentioned it's a machloket between the Rishonim with regards to when a person knows that it's 72 plus minutes off in terms of relieving themselves, whether it's lechat tehila or only b'diavad.
And there's no argument on Parsa versus a different time period.
That's matter-of-factly in the Gemara. Correct. Nobody's disagreeing, and that's nifsak lehalacha. Amar bi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar bi Yonatan. Hanitzrach l'nekavav, hareze lo yitpalel. A person who needs to relieve themselves should not pray. Pause for a second. He's going to cite a pasuk. Now, his pasuk is going to talk about preparing yourself appropriately for prayer. Is his pasuk going to lead us to tefilato to'eva? Certainly not. Right? Tefilato to'eva is a strong statement, an abomination. Tefilato to'eva meant that it's within the 72 minutes. I have to use the bathroom so imminently, so soon. So his statement, as a result, we have to suggest, or it seems clear to suggest, is talking about later than 72 minutes. Even though you don't need to use the bathroom until after 72 minutes, still lo yitpalel. That's the proof of Harambam from our Gemara against those words of Rashi. This is pointed out by Rabbeinu Yonah. Shene imam. Okay, what's the derasha that ideally a person should at all times relieve themselves and make certain that you empty your body of any excess fluids or you know, that Harambam mentions even phlegm or mucus. You really should empty yourself and make certain that you're physically prepared. The pasuk says in Amos, Hikon likrat Elohecha Yisrael, understood as hikon, prepare, like hachana, likrat, for greeting, Elohecha Yisrael, your God, Yisrael. A very clear, straightforward statement. That's what you should do with regards to preparing for tefillah. Make certain you relieve yourself. Ve'amar b'Shmuel bar Nachmeni, amar b'Yonatan. May dichtiv is going to lead us in a direction, b'doresha pasuk, which is going to bring us back to a similar concept of, from these derashot and pesukim from Kohelet, it leads us to the concept of preparing yourself for prayer by relieving yourself, which again should be on the mind of any conscientious Oved Hashem. Before I go to pray, before I stand up to pray, if I'm going to do this appropriately, I prepare myself. How do I prepare myself in the most basic and fundamental way? By relieving myself. Anyway, the derasha, which he cites, comes from Pasuk in Kohelet. The Pasuk says, and which the Gemara breaks it down, it starts with these words. And again, initially this derasha will have nothing to do with what we're talking about. We'll just need to see it through to bring it back to this concept of hikon, of preparation. The truth is that pasuk, hikon lekrat Elohecha Yisrael, is cited in Masechet Shabbat and Daf Yod as well, as the other necessary preparations for tefillah. The Gemara, for example, over there says you should put on special clothing for tefillah. Hikon lekrat Elohecha Yisrael. So again, we're mentioning it here in the context of relieving yourself, but it's in all aspects, mentally, physically, you should be prepared before you stand in front of Melech Malchei HaMelachim. My dichtiv, says Rabbi Yonatan, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Shemor raglecha ka'asher telech el bet ha'elohim? Which literally means safeguard, protect your feet when you go to Beit HaElohim, to the Mikdash, to a Makom Tefillah, to a Makom Kadosh. Here's the derasha, Shemor atzmecha shelo techeta. Be careful, protect yourself that you don't sin. Ve'im techeta, and if you do sin, Have korban lefanai, bring a korban in front of me. Next words in the pasuk, Ve'karov lishmoa, and then I'll be quick to listening. But it doesn't mean that, says the derasha and the gemara. First and foremost, make certain that you don't sin. If you did sin, bring a korban hatat. As you bring a korban hatat, make sure that you're listening. Listening to who? God. No. Amar Rava heve karov lishmoa divrei hachamim. Listen to the way the rabbis, the scholars, the leaders instruct you in the ways of korban. You see, korban can be misunderstood. People can imagine and think that a korban is, I slaughter the animal, atonement, kapara, I'm now cleansed. No, says the derasha here, the Gemara explains Rava based on this pasuk in Kohelet. A korban means a mindfulness. I brought this animal because I realized that I sinned. I'm doing teshuvah, I'm repenting. So the derasha again means, be careful, don't sin. If you did sin, bring your sacrifice. If you do bring your sacrifice, do it right. Don't assume you're just bringing a sacrifice and getting forgiveness. Listen to the rabbis. Sheim hot'im mevi'im korban ve'osim teshubah. This is what the rabbis will teach you. If you sin and you bring a sacrifice and you repent, then, as the pasuk continues, mitat hakisilim zava. Al tihi kiksalim shehot'im mevi'im korban ve'enosim teshubah. Listen to the scholars, the leaders, the rabbis. Do teshuvah when you bring your sacrifice, instead of being like a ksil. What's a ksil? A ksil is a silly person. What does a silly person do? A silly person assumes that a korban is like a button. In our day and age, we could say prayer. If you imagine prayer is atonement, doing a mitzvah brings me kapara, you're a ksil. But I did the right thing. Mindset. That's the derasha here of Rava and the pasuk in Kohelet. The mindset, the approach, the relationship is part and parcel with what you're doing. It's not separate. It is the whole point. Ki enam yode'im la'asot ra. So then the difficult conclusion of the pasuk says, because the ksilim don't know how to do evil. What are you talking about? So again, let's piece this all together. Says the pasuk, make certain that you safeguard your feet. Don't sin. If you do sin, listen to the rabbis and bring the sacrifice the proper way, not like the silly ones who don't know how to sin. Don't know how to sin. Then they're not silly people. Says the Gemara, Ihache sadikim nimu. Then they're not silly and they're not bringing a korban. Ela altihi kiksilim. Rather, what the end of the pasuk means is, don't be like the silly people, shehotim, umivim korban. They sin, they bring a sacrifice. Venam yode'im imala tova hemivim imala ra'a hemivim. They don't know why they're bringing the sacrifice. Is it for good or is it for bad? I don't know. I was told to bring it. I don't know. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. Have a certain understanding, have a certain mindfulness. Otherwise, you won't achieve the purpose of the korban. Otherwise, your relationship will stay severed and disconnected. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ben tov lera inan mavchinim. Those silly ones, the ksilim, they don't know how to distinguish between good and evil. Vehem mivim korban lefanai, and they bring a sacrifice. It adds insult to injury. Ah, they did wrong already. They didn't even learn their lesson. you can ironically do worse in your approach for forgiveness if you don't have the right mindset than positive when you do have the right mindset. You can just do nothing and be in better place than going through Kippur, assuming and realizing, it's just a day in which I get cleansed. You don't just get cleansed. You have a cleansing of your own heart. You have an approach of Lifnei Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hashem Itema Rav Hanina Bar Papa Amar. A different derasha to this pasuk, which is entirely relevant to what we were talking about until now. So in case you got derailed by what the Gemara just did in its last several lines, the Gemara was until then referring to cleansing yourself, relieving yourself prior to prayer. We took a sidestep and we quoted this pasuk from Kohelet. I warned and I cautioned when we did so. We're going to turn it back to this issue. Here it comes. The explanation is, Shemor nikavecha. When the pasuk says you should protect your feet, it refers not to your actual feet which walk. It refers to your private parts. Safeguard your private parts. B'sha'a she'ata omed b'tvila lefanai. Kivyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to you, make certain that everything that comes out of your body is accounted for prior to prayer. In other words, make certain that you relieved yourself. That's the dirasha of that pasuk. Okay, so that means that importantly and fundamentally what our Gemara has then set forth for us over here is the necessary preconditions to prayer. People confuse and forget these sorts of laws, assuming I showed up. Isn't that significant? It is very much so. I said the words, isn't that the right thing? It is very much so. But what was your mindset approaching it? What were the necessary steps that you put into it in bringing yourself to standing in front of God? Okay, the Gemara continues, and we'll just begin it for today, but the Gemara continues with a lengthy conversation about once upon a time reality. Not relevant today, although we can find circumstances where portions of this apply, but by and large, these are laws that are not applicable. It's during a time that people, men, used to wear tefillin at all times, number one. Number two, it's during a time that bathrooms were found out in the fields in just random places. Number three, as a result of that reality, I'm wearing my tefillin while I'm walking and I'm approaching the bathroom in order to relieve myself. I have a predicament. What do I do with my tefillin? That's what we're about to address. Question?
Yeah, before we get to that, is there a halakha l'maaseh on this topic?
We just read it from Harambam, and that's Shulchan Aruch's words as well. You're supposed to relieve yourself lechatechila, prior to prayer, at all times, under all circumstances. If you're certain that you don't need to go, so no necessity.
And if you do have to go, you should not start the Amidah, you should not pray, you should stop, even though you can hold it in.
Even though you can hold it in within
something pressing, it's not an urgent thing, you feel that you could go to the bathroom, you could not.
Now, obviously, you're going to have to scale all these sorts of things. In other words, if I have no access to a bathroom,
you're just going to miss Tefillah B'Sibur, or you're going to miss that minyan, or you're going to miss something.
That's a very interesting question. It's a very interesting question. I don't know the answer to that question. That's going to be a very detailed answer, right? Because you're going to have to take into account Rashi and Harambam. We go like Harambam on this, that it's not lechatechila. However, if you're giving up tefillah b'sibur, that's another ingredient
in
this. So that's a very interesting.
That's it. There's a bathroom right over there, and they're starting mincha. It's the last mincha.
I'm quite certain, although we'd need to look at this, that the poskim do write under such circumstances you miss it in order to relieve yourself. Don't forget as well, it's difficult to determine what is this 72 minutes. So you might even be within the 72 minutes, which means that your tefillah is tefillah totoreva, it's not just a lechatechila. So I'm quite certain that the poskim clearly write in this context that you're supposed to relieve yourself at the expense of losing tefillah b'sibur. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanana beraita hanichnas lebet hakise, a person who enters into the bathroom. Now you have to understand again, a bathroom was not per se a structure which we know with a toilet and that sort of thing. It really was one of two things, either what's called a bet kise kavua, which means it had a hole in the ground already there, it was kind of used already, or alternatively, you're just going and turning it into a bathroom. You're going to dig that hole. Okay, so hanichnas lebet hakiseh, what should you do with regards to your tefillin? We're going to have a long conversation which we won't finish today. Holetz tefillav berichuk arba amot v'nichnas. You need to take off your tefillin 6 feet away, 4 amot away, before entering in. That's the halacha, that's the statement. Amar Rav Aha bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshat, Lo shanu ela bet hakiseh kavua, aval bet hakiseh arai, holetz v'nifna le'altar. The statement is qualifying that earlier statement. It goes like this. When is it so that you need to take off your tefillin for a amot away? When it's already been used for that. It's what's known as kavua. There's already a hole in the ground and someone's relieved themselves there. You're now going and piggybacking on that already existent bet kiseh. In that circumstance, for a amot away, you take off your tefillin. We're not yet addressing where you leave your tefillin. That'll be a continued conversation. The statement, though, is if it's a bet kiseh arai, if it hasn't yet been used as a bathroom, you can walk right up to it, take your tefillin off there, and use the bathroom in that fashion. You don't need it birichuk arba amot, even though you're going to now use it and establish it, so to speak, as a bathroom. Rashi, bet hakiseh kavua, shiyesh bo so'ah, writes Rashi, it's already dirty, it's got excrement. V'chol batei kisaot shebegemara, says Rashi, whenever we talk about bathrooms in the Gemara, al pene hasadehim, belo hafira. We're talking about out in the field without, I should have spoke more clearly, there's not a real digging. It's not even a digging, it's above ground. So in other words, kavua is not that it was dug already, it's that it was used already. And arai means it was Rashi, arai shezeh matchil achshav la'asoto bet kiseh, it hasn't been used at all. Okay, continues the Gemara and it says, what do you do afterwards? So I finished using the bathroom, I want to put back on my tefillin. Ukshehu yotzeh, marchik arba amot manihan. In such a circumstance, even though it started as a bet kiseh arai, it hadn't yet been used, once you relieved yourself there, it's now a bet kiseh kavua. It's now been established as a bathroom. You need to therefore distance yourself 4 amot from the filthy place and put on your tefillin. Then again, mipenesha asa o bet kiseh kavua, because you, by so doing, by relieving yourself there, established it as a bet kiseh kavua, as a more established place. Says the Gemara, iba'ya lehu. In case we didn't have enough confusion, says the Gemara, the rabbis were further confused. And again, we have many details that are yet to be determined, most of which are not very relevant to us today, although the concept of keeping clean, of distancing ourselves when we wear tefillin from these sorts of matters is very clear. Mahu sheyikanes adam batefillin lebet hakiseh kavua lehashtin maim. What's the halacha with regards to leaving your tefillin on in order to urinate? That's the question, says Rashi. Says the Gemara. That's the question. I want to just for a moment, I forgot to mention earlier in the Gemara, when the Gemara quoted Shemor Nekavecha, remember the derasha that you should safeguard your feet, and it says Shemor Nekavecha, Rashi interestingly mentions, not only with regards to relieving yourself and making certain that, you know, you relieved yourself if you had to go, Rashi in Dibur HaMatchil Shemor Nekavecha mentions Shelo Yapichu. You have to also bring yourself to a state where you know that you won't be passing gas during prayer. That's a significant one as well. It's not only that you can't pass gas, it's that you need to be certain before you're praying that you won't be passing gas. That's a significant lahalacha as well. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, we're uncertain, the Hachamim in the Midrash, we're uncertain whether you need to at all take off your tefillin when you're even going to a bet kiseh kavua. You got that? Bet kiseh kavua. It's orbit news, lehashtin maim, but you're going just to urinate. Ravina share, Ravina permit. Rav Ada bar Matna asar. Rav Ada bar Matna said it's forbidden. You see the note? It's forbidden. Atusha yeluha l'rava. They came and they asked Rava, Amar lehu asur. He followed up and he said, indeed, it's asur. Why so? Haishinan, the fear is, sheme yifne bahin. You might think that you're just going to urinate, you might end up relieving yourself, which causes a problem. The amrela, and there are some who suggest, sheme yapiach bahin. Maybe it's not that you're going to end up, again, you went to urinate, you're going to relieve yourself entirely with what's called so'ah. It might not even be so'ah, just that you're going to pass gas. Tanya idach, the Gemara quotes a different beraita, which says, hanichnas lebeta ki kavua holetz min tefilav berichuk arba amot umanihan behalon hasamuch lerushut harabim. This beraita brings us to the next detail that we need to address. So we addressed where to take them off. At what place? We addressed urinating and relieving yourself in terms of the excrement. And now the next issue we want to address is, where do you leave your tefillin? We're only going to touch the tip of the iceberg on this, and we'll continue it next time. So says this beraita, you should take it off arba amot away, which we understand. Where do you leave it? Behalon hasamuch l'rashut harabim. It means the windowsill, which is close to the public area, v'nichnas. And then you can go into the bathroom. Kshuhu yoseh, and when you leave the bathroom, marhik arba amot umanihan divrei Beit Shammai. You should distance yourself 6 feet, arba amot, and then put them back on. Says the Gemara, ubet hilel omrim, and bet hilel say, it should be noted that when we were talking about urinating, although it sounded, although the Gemara said, excuse me, the Gemara said, let's go to the Hashtin. Okay, good. Says the Gemara, Ubet Hilel Omrim, O Hazan Biado Venichnas. Bet Hilel say, you should hold the tefillin. You take them off 4 amot away, you hold them in your hand, and you go into the bathroom in such a fashion, with your tefillin in your hand. Rabbi Akiva Omer, O Hazan Bibigdo Venichnas. Rabbi Akiva says, put them in your clothing and enter in. So three opinions as to where you're leaving tefillin. Bet Shammai, l'halon hasamuch l'rashut harabim. Bet Hilel, hold it in your hand. Again, all agreeing you're taking it off 4 amot away. Rabbi Akiva, you're putting it in your garment. Ask the Gemara, b'bigdos al kada'atach. You're going to wrap it up in your clothing, in your robe, in your sports jacket. Zimnin mishtalelehu v'nafle. Sometimes you're going to forget about them being there and they're going to fall out. That doesn't make sense. Ela ema o hazan bibigdo ubiado v'nichnas. Rather, the concept is, according to the Bi'akiva, you put them in the garment as an extra precaution. I'm holding it in my hand, encased in my clothing underneath it. Umaniham behorin asmuchin lebet hakiseh, and you should then leave them in the holes which are close to bet hakiseh. V'lo yanichem behorin hasmuchin l'rashut harabim. You should do them on the holes which are facing into the bathroom, as opposed to those which are facing out of the bathroom. Why so? Because if you put them in the ones outside of the bathroom, some of mine come by, the Gemara will explain to us, and steal them. So as a result, let's review this one more time. I'm taking my tefillin off 6 feet away. I'm entering in, either holding it or holding it with the garment underneath, and then I'm placing it in a hole, in a little cubby inside of the bathroom area. Why don't I leave it outside? Isn't that more appropriate? Shouldn't my tefillin be as distant as they can be? Remember, if you have a place really distant, of course leave them there. Sheme yitelu otam ovre derachim ve'avoli dechashad. The reason you want to put it in the external hole as opposed to the internal hole as opposed to the external hole, meaning I'm in the bathroom area, an enclosed area, I want to stick it in a hole that I can see from inside as opposed to outside, because avrei derachim, someone might pass by, grab it, and end up causing suspicion on you. What sort of suspicion? Losing my tefillin is enough. No, it could be even worse. How so? Umaaseh b'talmid echad sheniach tefillav b'chorin hasmuchin l'rashut harabim. Indeed, there was once a student who left his tefillin in the outside hole, outside of the bathroom. Uba'at zona ahat, and a harlot passed by. V'nataltan, she grabbed those tefillin. Uba'at bet ha-midrash, she entered into the midrash and said, ve'amiran, she holds them up almost like Eshet Potifar. Re'uma natan li peloni bischari. Look at what I was given as a reward by the person who's the owner of these tefillin. Made him look terrible. He hadn't done so. He was just safeguarding his tefillin. Kevan sheshama oto talmid kach ala l'rosh hagag v'nafal umet. What ended up happening was the student was so embarrassed, so overwhelmed, he went to the top of the roof, ended up falling off, almost put himself in a position of, well, the Gemara doesn't say explicitly committed suicide, but the Gemara says he put himself in a position where he was almost, going to die, and he ends up dying over that embarrassment by going up there because he couldn't stand it. At that time, Hitkinu, the rabbis established, Sheyehe o hazan bebigdo ubiado v'nichnas u'posek halakha l'krabi akiva, put it in the garment and hold on to it with your hand. Of course, this Gemara and the subsequent Gemara are all relevant for a issue that does come up today, and that is the issue we've talked about on other occasions, and we will perhaps again next time when we come back to this Gemara, bringing a koracha into the bathroom, right? That's really what we're referring to now. The earlier part about where to take it off and things of that sort is one thing. How you hold it upon entrance into the bathroom, this is a very big issue. And you see Rabbi Akiva, without really explaining himself to us why or how, and we'll deal with this in the continued lines, says you should wrap it in your clothing and put your hand over it, that's very significant. Let's just read one last line or two in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, another Beraita, Barishona. Initially, Hayu manichin tefillin b'chorin hasmuchin lebet hakiseh. They used to leave them in these holes, in these cubbies close to the bathroom. Ubayin achbarim v'notnin otan. What used to happen was not harlots per se, but mice would come and grab them. I don't know, a time and age where mice were a lot more mighty and a lot more daring, just grabbing tefillin. But that's what the Gemara says. Hitkinu shihu menichin otan behalonot hasmuchot lirshut harabim. That's what we saw earlier in the Beraita. They no longer put them in the cubbies in the bathroom. They rather put them on like those window sills which are facing the public area. Ubayin ovrei derachim v'notlin otan. What ended up happening was that didn't help, because then people would pass by and grab them. The final takana was, hold on to them upon entrance into the bathroom. We don't have a better solution. Here's the halakha. You should roll them up like a sefer, which means, you know, the same way you would roll up a sefer, what we refer to as a sefer Torah today, like a scroll, with the retsu'ot, the straps of the tefillin, you should wrap them up, and then hold them keneged libo, hold them across your heart, and enter in, meaning hold on to them in a very appropriate, dignified fashion, and do so. Amar Rav Yosef bar Manumeh, Amar Rav Nachman, you could and should do as we just described. However, be careful, bilvad, make certain when you wrapped it up with the resu'ot, with the straps of the tefillin, that the straps don't then protrude outside of your hand, tefach, the size of a fist. Why not? What's the problem? I thought the whole issue is covering the box. The box has the parchments in it. What is it about the resu'ot, about the straps? There's some sort of significance to the straps, says Rashi, and we're going to suffice with this for now, for today. Rashi, shelo tehe resu'a shiyesh ba kedusha. Says Rashi, the resu'ot, the straps of the tefillin, people overlook this, assume that they don't have sanctity. It's only the bayit, it's only the part that has the parchments, which is sanctified, which is holy. No, says Rashi, even the resu'ot. Why? They're just straps, they're leather straps. Shere bahen hu koshran. You do the kesher, you do the knot with them, and then listen to what the knots of our tefillin represent. Ubakesher nira ba'asiyato kemin dalit. First and foremost, the kesher, the knot on our shilyat, when we put it onto our arm, looks like a dalit. Al shem achat me'otiyot shel shin dalit yod. There's a dalit over there, which is one of the letters of God's name, shin dalit yod, which is the name we use for covenants, for berit, which tefillin is an ot. Ve'hashin asuya bekotlea ketzit. And then on the back of our tefillin shel rosh, there's a knot on the part that goes on top of our neck, and that has the letter shin on it. Shin and dalet. V'hayod asuya berosh resua tefillin shel yad. And then I have a yod, which is on the side of my tefillin shel yad, that part that kind of sticks out. U'resua ketana me'od kafuf rosha v'niret kemin yod. It's a little small protruding thing, which looks like the letter yod. Place these letters next, one next to the other. Shin Dalet Yod, says Rashi, through my resu'ot of my tefillin, I found God's name. They have a sanctity in of themselves. That's why Nifsak Lahalacha here in Shohana, in the Gemara, and in turn in Shohan Aruch, that the halacha is that with regards to safeguarding tefillin, these precautions, these safeties which we put into effect, are not only with regards to the bayit, make certain as well that the resu'ot are not really protruding and coming out more than a tefach. What did we establish and discuss today? First and foremost, the laws, the necessity of relieving yourself prior to prayer. Secondly, the way to take off your tefillin at a distance once upon a time when you were entering into a bathroom area. And thirdly, were you to need, should you need to bring your tefillin in without dealing with it in an absolute practical way for today's day and age, but if you were to need to, the Gemara brings us through the history of where they used to leave them, ultimately speaking, saying you had to bring it in, but make certain it's as covered as it can be, even laying credence to some sort of double covering of Rabbi Akiva, which seems to be accepted, putting it in the garment and putting my hand over it and then holding it close to my heart as a show of respect of kabod. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen ve'amen.